Okay, so John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. If you want to put a title to the sermon this morning, it's very simply the light of the world. That's the even just the head of my chapter there in John chapter 8. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I like it when the sun is shining. I know we have to have rain, and when we have rain, that means cloudy skies. I get that. But I like it when the sun is shining, and you know, whether it's cloudy or sunny, guys, we see the sun every day. The sun comes out, and the light from the sun is very powerful. In fact, as I did some study on this, the light from the sun is so powerful that it can reach 260 feet down into the ocean when it shines down. That's how powerful the sun is. Sunlight, we know, is used by plants to convert light into energy as their food. That process is called photosynthesis. And it converts carbon dioxide through the energy of light. And so the sun is a powerful thing that we need it in our lives each and every day. Here's some other facts about light in general. Light is made up of tiny photons, and each photon contains a lot of energy. And so we know that light will travel in a complete straight line unless it hits an object, and then at that time it will bend. And light, if you were to put it in a vacuum, it would travel, a lot of you probably know this, 186,000 miles per second. That's pretty fast, okay? In fact, for light to get from the earth to the moon, it only takes 1.255 seconds. That's how fast light is. Now, we know in space, space doesn't have any light, but we can see things in space due to the light that's bouncing off different objects that are in space. And the light that we see from the sun, if we were to go outside and see the light that's outside, the light that we see from the sun actually left the sun 10 minutes before we saw it. So the sun is powerful. Light is a neat subject to study. And there's a lot of other facts that we could talk about. But our passage this morning speaks about the light. And this light, we know, is more powerful than even the sun itself, the S-U-N, okay? The light is Jesus. And so Jesus refers to himself as the light of the world. So let's read this passage together, and then let's see what God's word has to say to us this morning as we study this passage together. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid. Even if I testify about myself, Jesus replied, my testimony is valid because I know where I came from and where I am going, but you don't know where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true because I am not alone, but I and the Father who sent me judge together. Even in your law, it is written that the witness of two men is valid. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You know neither me nor my Father, Jesus answered. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple complex, but no one seized him because his hour had not yet come." So there's some specific things that I want to bring out as we look at this scripture together. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. The first thing is this. If you want to take some notes or outline, number one, point number one, the first thing we see here is that Jesus makes a claim about himself. And that claim is very simple. Jesus declared, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now, this is the second I am statement that in the Gospel of John. The first is found over in John chapter 6, verse 35, where Jesus proclaimed, remember what did he proclaim? Y'all remember? I'm the bread of life, okay? So this is the second I am statement. He says here in this statement, verse 12, first part of verse 12, I am the light of the world. And we need to understand something here. The timing of Jesus' claim is very important. So let me paint the picture for you. He made this comment during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And if you don't know anything about that feast, in the evening, there were four huge candelabras. And I hesitate to say candelabras because these were huge. There's more like torchelabras. I mean, they were huge, okay? And they would light these things up in the evening, and it would light the whole temple. And the light from these candelabras would light up a lot of Jerusalem and the city there. And so this light, as they lit these huge candelabras, was a symbol and a reminder of when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. If you remember, what did they see? What were they led by? They were led by a pillar of fire, right? And so imagine with these torches blazing in the temple, Jesus proclaims, hey, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And so what is it exactly Jesus is proclaiming here? Because he's not just saying, you know, I'm on fire and everybody can see because of me. He's proclaiming something here. He's making a bold statement here. And the bold statement was about his divinity. He was claiming, guys, I am God. I am the Savior of the world. You know, this in the scriptures, many times the word light symbolizes the holiness of God. In Psalm 27:1, the Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And so Jesus is not claiming he is a light. He's not claiming he's another light among others. He is claiming, I am the light, the one true light. He's claiming that he's the one and only. And not only is Jesus the light of the world, he claimed that we too are the light of the world. In another passage, remember over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, a familiar passage? Jesus is talking to us, his followers. He said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And so not only did Jesus say, I'm the light of the world, he says to us, his followers, you are the light of the world. And Jesus said that our light should not be hidden. It should be put up in a prominent place for other people to see, so that people can see the light of Jesus in us. Now, what are some ways, just thinking about it really quickly, what are some ways that we hide our light? What are some things that we do in our lives that could cause our light to be hidden? Well, being afraid or ashamed to speak up about our faith. We should never be afraid. We should never be ashamed to speak up of the truths of God's word. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter wrote, but set apart the Messiah as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you. So Peter says, be ready to share your faith. Be ready to defend your faith. Be ready to give a defense for the hope that lies within you. So that's one way that we hide our light. Another way that we hide our light is sometimes we don't think about this, but I like to call it spiritual laziness. We're lazy spiritually. Guys, listen, and I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll say it again at some time. I'm a creature of habit. But spiritual work, kingdom work, is difficult, isn't it? Ministry can be tough. And listen, we live in a day and time where convenience is really the king of a lot of things. There's a lot of people who don't want to be hassled. They don't want to have to make a commitment. And listen, when God asks something of us, it's inconvenient sometimes. It's costly. And I think about the life of Jesus. You know, it wasn't very convenient for him to go to the cross. It wasn't convenient for him to do that. And what if he had said, you know, on second thought, I didn't sign up for this. I'm changing my mind. I don't feel like doing this. I got better things to do. But that's not what Jesus said. In fact, he said to us, let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So there are times, guys, when we have to choose to do the hard things when nobody else is doing it. We have to choose to do the hard things. And a way that we hide our light is by being lazy spiritually. Another thing is by treating others harshly. You know, a good indication of where we are spiritually, get this, and listen to it. A good way to determine where we are spiritually is how we treat other people. The Bible says, 1 John 4:7-8, dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. And so when we don't show love to other people, it shows that we really, according to John, don't belong to God. When we treat other people harshly, when we don't love our neighbors or self, our light is hidden. You know, that should be our message today. In the midst of all this hatred that we see going on in our society, if we could just preach love your neighbor as yourself, man, all this other stuff would go away. If people would adhere to what the scripture teaches, love your neighbor as yourself, why did Jesus, you know, when he was asked what are the two greatest commandments, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, if we could do those two things, we wouldn't see all this mess going on today. And it starts with us as Christians. It starts with us as followers of Christ. So don't hide your light. Jesus made this glorious claim. I'm the light of the world. He says to us, you are the light of the world. Let's not let our light be hidden. That's the first thing we see from this scripture. The second thing we see in the latter part of verse 12, number 2, is that Jesus makes a claim about his followers. Look what he said there in verse 12, the second part. Let's just read the whole thing. It says, when Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. This is what I want to key on. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Obviously, this means when we follow Jesus, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we no longer are walking blindly in sin because he's forgiven us, right? And he has led us into eternal life with him. And guys, as good as this is, there's more to this. Now I want you to think about what Jesus said here. Because following Jesus kind of parallels the imagery that we talked about earlier in the wilderness when the Israelites followed God by the pillar of fire. Those who follow Jesus, guess what? We have the light to walk by, right? We have something to look to. And he says, we possess the light. And when we possess the light, we're going to be in relationship with the light. Following Jesus, here's what it means. It means attaching yourself to him and doing what he did, saying what he said, going where he went. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus means to believe in what he teaches and do what he says. Because that's what being a disciple is. And here's the thing, guys. We see a lot of people today that wanted to substitute that word disciple with another word. You know what that word is? Volunteerism. And the two aren't the same. Being a volunteer is different than being a disciple. Because a volunteer can come and go as he or she pleases. A disciple is someone who is in this thing for life. That's what a disciple is. A disciple, in return, we need the light of Jesus so that we can stay on the right path. Because without the light of Jesus, guess what? We cannot begin to see what's proper in life. We cannot see life properly. Jesus is the only light. And if Jesus is not your light, then he says you cannot look at life properly. You cannot see yourself properly. You cannot look at God properly. You cannot comprehend what you need to comprehend in life, because there is only one thing that you need when you're in the dark. You need light. What's the first thing you do when you go into a room in your house at night? Flip on the switch, right? Turn on the lamp. We want to be able to see. Well, Jesus helps us to be able to see in life. Jesus is the light of life in the world. And when you're in the dark, you must follow the light to have any direction. That's the reason so many people are wandering around today aimlessly. It's like when Jesus saw the crowds, he said they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It's because they don't have the light. That's the reason we see all the sin and brokenness in our world, because people are choosing their own way of life rather than the things of God. They're looking into themselves rather than the light of Jesus. And our world is walking in darkness. And guys, walking in darkness can be very dangerous. Think about it. If you're literally walking in the darkness, what's going to happen? Most likely you're going to get hurt. You're going to trip over something. You're going to run into something. You're going to stub your toe. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about walking in darkness. Get this, Proverbs 4:19 says, "But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble." Boy, how true that is. When we don't follow God's ways, we're asking for trouble. It's an invitation for trouble. You're going to stumble. You're going to get hurt. And not only that, secondly, you're going to get lost in the dark. Because you can't see in the darkness, you're going to go the wrong way. This is why God used a pillar of fire in the wilderness. This is why we need the light of Jesus. All the violence and the lawlessness that we see and the hate that we see today is because people are walking in darkness. They're hurt and they're lost. And Jesus is the answer, because he is the light. So he says, when we follow him, we're no longer walking in darkness. That's his claim to us. But he makes another claim in the rest of the verses here, verses 13 through 20. He makes a claim about unbelievers. Jesus' claim about unbelievers. You know, the Pharisees questioned Jesus, as they often did. They didn't like what Jesus had to say. And according to the Old Testament law, every fact in a legal matter had to be established by the testimony of more than one witness. And so they tried to call him out on it. And as often happened, when they tried to call him out, Jesus, boy, he just stuffed it right back inside of them, you know? And so in typical fashion, the Pharisees refused to consider Jesus' claim as being the truth by dismissing it on a legal technicality. So what did Jesus say here? First of all, he said, "Hey, my testimony's true. I stand by what I say." He supported his claim by referring to his divine origin. He said, "I know where I came from. I know where I'm going to." How many times today do people want to define who we are as Christians? I get so sick of it. I have purposely, in my life, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, tried to stay off Facebook as much as possible. Because I am sick and tired of people saying, "If you don't believe this, if you don't do this, then you're part of the problem, or you're this, or you're that." Listen, you don't get to define who I am. You know who knows my heart? Is God. He knows my heart, and I know my heart. You don't know me. Maybe you got problems in your life, but don't point your finger at me, because God knows my heart. You don't get to define who I am. And that's what Jesus said. "I know where I came from. I know where I'm going." He knew what his role was. And Jesus further exposed the Pharisees' ignorance when he declared that they judge according to the flesh. He was basically saying, "You know nothing about me, because the way you come to your conclusions is worldly." That's what he said. "I'm dismissing you." You know, then Jesus gave another support for his credibility. He said that his judgment is true because he judges alongside God. Okay? in saying that he was one with the Father in judgment, Jesus was claiming his equality with God. He was claiming that they are the same. And then he gave a third support for his credibility, as if he really needed to. He didn't, but he did anyway. Look at verses 17 and 18 again. He said, even if your law, if it is written that the witness of two men is valid, I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. In perfect agreement, the Father and the Son bear witness to the truth of Jesus' claims here. He said, God is the one who makes me credible, because he is the one that testifies me. In other words, I don't need another witness, because God himself is my witness. As we think about these answers that Jesus gives to these unbelieving Pharisees, the bottom line is this, and here's what I want you to understand. Obviously, the Pharisees refused to believe in who Jesus really was, and the same is true today in our culture. I've heard so many things about Jesus in our culture today. For instance, I think probably most people, even worldly people, even lost people, think that Jesus was a pretty good guy, right? I think that's a valid statement. You know, he helped poor people. He was for the low guy. He healed people. You know, he did a lot of things that people didn't want to do. He's a pretty good guy. And those are great things. But here's the thing. Human accolades are not enough to really tell the story of who Jesus is, because he is God in the flesh and the Savior of the world. And he is the only name under heaven by which man is saved from his sins. And when you state facts about Jesus, those facts, those other people that say Jesus was a good guy, they don't want to hear that. Because then they have to make a decision. They only want to think of Jesus in the way that they want to. I mean, here's some other things. You probably heard some of these before about Jesus. Things that we hear every day. He was an angel. He was a good guy, that's it. He was married to Mary Magdalene. He was white with blonde hair and blue eyes. Totally false, okay? If he were alive today, he would smoke marijuana just like everybody else. I've heard people say that. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And people are adding all these things. We know who you are. You're this and this and this. And they're trying to put Jesus into this box. And he said, listen, I'm not any of these things. I'm the light of the world. I'm God in the flesh. I'm the Savior. And guys, when we don't believe in who Jesus really is, and we don't become his follower, Jesus said, you walk in darkness, flat out. And that's exactly, as we've already said, what is happening today. Spiritual darkness means not having fellowship with God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what spiritual darkness is. And the darkness of separation from God has been overcome through Christ. Get this. If you went back and read John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, John says, life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet darkness did not overcome it. The darkness, guys, as dark as things are today, is not going to overcome Jesus. Not going to overcome him. From the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, humans have lived in a fallen world, and all people are born into a fallen state of sin and separated from God. And until a person is reborn of God's Spirit, he or she is living in spiritual darkness. Here's what sin does. It darkens our understanding, and it destroys our spiritual sight and drives us into deeper darkness. This is why our world needs Jesus. This is why we need Jesus. Because he is the light of the world. He's the answer for the world around us. Remember what Jesus said when people came to him? What did he say? We've been studying about the disciples on Wednesday nights in our Bible study together. What did Jesus often say when he encountered the disciples for the first time? Come follow me. Follow me. Let me lead you out of darkness. Jesus is the light who leads us to God. And he was sent by God to show us the path that leads to him. And the Bible says, here's the great thing. The Bible says, whoever follows Jesus, it's what Jesus just said here. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. True belief is to follow Jesus. And so the question that we need to answer for ourselves today is, does Jesus lead my life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And people don't like to hear that because they think, you know, there are other ways. Who was it a while back? Oprah Winfrey said there are multiple ways to God. That's baloney. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, I'm the only way. If you have a problem with that, if you don't like that statement, take it up with him. He's the one that said it. Argue with him if you want to. He can take it. He's the only way. And that's got to be our message today. We have to do it in love, obviously. We have to do it in a way that we love and our hearts are broken for other people, but our message has to be true. Jesus is the only way. He's the light. And he wanted the Pharisees to understand, and they wouldn't do it. And sadly, many of them missed out. They rejected, and in the end it was too late for them. Some did. Some followed Jesus. But a lot of them didn't. So make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Does Jesus lead your life? I pray that he does. Father, we thank you today for what we've heard and learned in this great passage. Father, your Son made a profound statement. I'm the light of the world. And boy, he sure is. And our world needs to follow that light. Because people are wandering in darkness. And Father, all of us here today, whether we're here in this building or watching, our hearts are broken for the lostness of our society. And Father, we know that you are broken too. Your word tells us that when you saw the crowds, you had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, wandering in the darkness. I pray that our country, our world, would truly see the light and life of Jesus. Father, help us to let our light shine before men so that others will give glory to you in heaven. Not that we'll receive the glory, but that you will receive the glory. Father, have your way in us right now. If there's any today that needs to make you the Lord and Savior of their life today, I pray, Father, that they would do just that. Speak to their heart now. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. Well, Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment, and perhaps this morning there's a decision that you need to make. It's between you and the Lord. And you can give it to him. You can talk to him. You can pour your heart out to him. He will listen. He will respond. He will save you, comfort you, give you peace. Whatever that decision is, I pray that you would be willing to give that over to him right now. And maybe later on this week, if you would like to speak with me, you could contact me and we'll get together. We'll talk about it. But whatever God is leading you to do this morning, I pray that you would be obedient to Him. As we are here today, let's stand together. As Andrew leads us in this song of commitment, you make your decision for Christ today.